Good morning, church. I like that. It is great to be with you one more time. Today we are going to start off with a song that celebrates two days, two special days. The first day is when Jesus, after he died, rose again and defeated death. And the second day is the day that you, if you have, accepted his free gift of salvation, and thereby will never die. Your soul will never die. So we celebrate those two days. We'd like you to stand and join us on the song. Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope, no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in, when death was arrested and my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given anew. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance, when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love, pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Released from my chain, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend, when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. Then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested in my life.
Buddy, I do miss the greeting time. I just do. So let's just put our hands out. Let's shake each other's hands. It's good to see you guys this morning. Glad that you have joined with us to worship. And we have a few announcements that we want to bring to your attention. Next week at 9:30, there's going to be a Sunday school class video Zoom that the Platts are going to be on. They were missionaries in Turkey. They've been deported, and so we're going to keep up with them. Those are my daughter-in-law's parents that have been missionaries over in the Middle East for some 29 years, I think it is. Next week, we have a membership class following the 11 o'clock service. And so if you're interested in membership, please contact the office. And we're also having a Zoom class later in the day. So whatever you're comfortable with, whether you're home and you want to do it online, or you can do that. So just contact the church and let us know. We are going to provide some kind of food for you if you're going to do it here. And so we want to make you aware of that. We have VBS registration that is open. It's online. You can go to the church website and urc3.org/VBS and sign up for that. And then the men's golf outing is like 2 weeks away. So guys, we encourage you. There's a chance for you to invite people out. The cost is $50. It's on July 25th. And it's really a good opportunity. At the end of it, we're going to be able to have a time together where we have some food and we share the good news of the Lord with them. So we want to make you aware of that. And then we have a couple of big announcements. Ashley and Brock McKinley have had their son, Jordan, he's called JJ, his adoption was finalized this week. And so we rejoice in that. Amen. As those who have adopted, we've adopted our boys, it is a tremendous day when it's finalized. So we rejoice with them, and that's good news. And then my daughter-in-law had a baby. And so little Thaddeus Miles was born on the 6th. He is 6 pounds, 7 ounces, 19 inches long, and he needs to start lifting weights, or those two little girls that are there with him are going to run him over. So we rejoice, and I am grateful for the Lord's goodness. And I'm praying for this day that the Lord would speak in all of our hearts. We're talking about submitting to the government, which is not going to be easy for many of us. So let's pray and let's just commit our time to the Lord. Father, we come to you. You are the God of the universe, and your word is true. You have spoken to us your infallible, inerrant, holy word. And we want to not just be hearers, but be doers of it. We come to you as a people who need your help. Lord, we need your help in a million ways. We think of those that don't have jobs. We think of those that are having health difficulties. We think of those that are distraught. They're depressed. They're downtrodden. And Lord, we in every situation, we need to turn our eyes to you, and we need to hold to and believe your word by your Spirit. So we come and just pray that you would do your work in our lives. So we thank you that you are God. We would pray that you would work mightily in this land. We pray that there would be unity and that there would be a miracle within leadership, be it at the presidential level with President Trump, all the way down to the local areas of government, that we would be able to live a quiet and peaceable life. So we commit that to you. We thank you that little JJ is now part of the McKinley family officially. And we thank you for the safe arrival of little Thaddeus. And we give you glory for that. Lord, we come now. And as we continue to worship you, may you be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord is my shepherd. He goes before me, defender behind me. I won't fear. I'm filled with anointing. My cup's overflowing. No weapon can harm me. guides me through mountains and valleys. His joy is refreshing, restores my soul.
Mercy and goodness.
Mercy and goodness, give me assurance that I'll see His glory face to face. Your Spirit lives within me, so I will walk in Your peace. Your Spirit lives within me, my victory. Your Spirit lives within me, so I will walk in Your peace. Your Spirit lives within me, my victory, my victory. Your Spirit lives within me, so I will walk in Your peace. Your Spirit lives within me, my victory, my victory. Your Spirit lives within me, so I will walk in Your peace. Your Spirit lives within me,
my victory. God wrote that 23rd Psalm because there are so many times that we would need to be reminded that we are not alone, but the Creator God. For those of us that have accepted His free gift of salvation, is beside us as our shepherd, guiding and protecting. There is no reason, though we tend to fall into it a lot, to fear. Because of who He is, and because of what He thinks of us, because of who we are with respect to Him, and been adopted into His family. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea. You split the sea so I could walk right through. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
I am a child. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
No longer.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Going to hear from God through his word in the 13th chapter of Romans. So please remain standing in honor of the reading of God's word. Romans 13, 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. You may be seated.
So last week, the good old U.S. of A. celebrated its 244th birthday as a country. And we as Americans love our freedoms. We love them more than we realize. In the Constitution preamble, it says this: "We, the people of the United States, in order to secure a more beneficial union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare and security, the blessing of liberty to ourselves and our prosperity." That idea of liberty is a state of freedom and being free. And obviously our posterity is to our future, the future generations. And we love it. And we get irritated when our freedoms start to get trampled on just a little bit. I'm just telling you, we all do. And one of the crazy things that's happened is through this virus, I have heard more people squirming because of the infringement upon our freedoms. And you might say, well, they shouldn't be squirming. Well, you know, for those of you, because I know, and here's this balance, you got some that are worried about dying, and then there's others who have literally, they have lost their jobs. And for some of them, it's never coming back. So we have this tension that is there, and it's not easy. I'll just say this, it's not easy. So how do we respond? How do we as people who honor the Lord, love the Lord, how are we to respond? Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I just got to say this as we start this message. I have, this is, for me, probably one of the hardest sermons I've ever had to preach. Because last Sunday, when Pastor Jason was up here and we're preparing for the Lord's table, and we're examining ourselves, and I know the passage that I'm going to be preaching on this week, I look at this passage and I just say, I'm a hypocrite. Some of the things we're going to read today, I don't do well, okay? So I don't come as one who has this mastered. I am a work in progress like some of you. But as we read the Word and as we go through the Word, the question comes down to, are we Christians? Do we really believe the Word? So let me invite you to stand once again for the reading of God's Word. And I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Here's what it says. "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to emperors as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." Let's just pray. Father, we come to you, and I know I love this country, and I am grateful that you have placed us here. I am grateful that you have given us freedoms that many people around the world don't have. But I pray that we would not love this country and our freedoms more than we love you. So, Lord, give us ears to hear, and we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. So when we embrace the gospel, when we give our lives to him, he totally changes everything. This is not just something where we come for salvation and we have our sins forgiven and then we just go about our merry way just living what we want. And when we come to certain portions of scripture that we like, we say, oh good, I agree with that. And then ones we don't like, it's like, well, I'm going to put that one aside. We can't do that, okay? So here's where I'm going with this this morning. First of all, I'm going to go through the passage. It's really clear, but I'm just going to step through it for us. And then we're going to talk about, what about civil disobedience? When do you say enough is enough? And then we're going to try to tie this all together and really ask the question, and it's a hard question, are we more freedom-loving Americans or are we Christians? And so that's where I'm going, and Lord willing, we will land well. So let's get started. First point, the clear command to be subject to the God-ordained human authorities. It says it right there, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to emperors as supreme or to governors as sent by those to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about how we are exiles, how we are strangers, we're sojourners. Our citizenship is in heaven, and yet, as believers, we're here, and we're part of this country. And so God has made it real clear, while we're here as exiles, as sojourners, he wants us to be people who submit to the governing authorities. It's pretty clear. And some have tried to get around this. Trust me, I'm looking for loopholes. I got to tell you that right now. I'm looking for loopholes. Unfortunately, I don't find any. Some scholars define submit. They say that, well, it refers to deferring to someone or showing respect rather than obedience. But the Greek word is the Greek word, and it says what it says. And there really is no loopholes. I mean, when you take the entirety of Scripture, and he makes it clear, to every institution, whether it be to emperors as supreme or to governors. So he's kind of breaking it down. It's like, okay, at every area, you need to submit. And here's where I struggle. It's like, well, what if we have some bad rules and bad laws? I mean, what if they're just wrong? And the bottom line, what if they're just flat out wrong? And I know some of you, it's like, no, they're not wrong. They're trying to say, like, okay, hypothetically, what if they're wrong? Have governments been wrong? Yes. So when the passage that Dale read, let me just give you a little background to that. In Rome, it was not a nice place to live. Nero was the emperor from AD 54 to AD 68. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans AD 57, roughly. And so this government was far more evil, far more wicked than our government is. It was known for its infanticide, corrupt government, abuse of women, total immorality. It was known for violence. And in AD 64, the fire in Rome happened, and Nero accused Christians of being the ones who started it. They made the Christians the scapegoats, and they were brutally treated. They were thrown to the beasts. They were crucified. They were burned alive. And the Holy Spirit, knowing that all of this was going to happen, inspired Paul to write what Dale read. And let me just go through this again. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So whether we like our rulers, God in his sovereignty has allowed them to be there. And then it goes on to say, and for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of him who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. So this whole concept of, you know, get rid of the government and defund the police, it's like, really? You know, because it goes on to say, But if you do wrong, be afraid, because he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God and the avenger who carries out God's wrath on wrongdoers. So God has instituted government, good and bad government. By the way, I mean, you look, the history of government is not good. And God has sovereignly sets up kings and he deposes them, right? We know that's what the scripture says, that the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he wants. And so we need to obey the governing authorities, even when they say, when you're in groups, you got to wear masks. And even if you're like, well, and there's all kinds of things. Well, what about this? Well, what if I have health issues, right? My Jane's brother's wife went to the doctor and said, she's got asthma. And the doctor said, don't wear masks. Well, what's going to happen for her? Is she going to be getting $500 fines? Is she going to have to have a letter from the doctor? And so there's all these things. But at the end of the day, we have to do what is right, and that is obey the governing authorities. Now, second point. We obey the government for the Lord's sake. It says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. And Peter states the motivation for submitting to the authority. It is for the Lord and to really give him honor and glory. And our obligation is to, for the Lord's sake, do what he has told us to do. So Christians, whether for any command, we obey because we desire to honor the Lord. That should be our heart. If God's word says something, whether it's staying in a marriage that's not good, or watching our tongue, or forgiving people who drive you crazy, you have to forgive. I mean, at every area, we have to act like believers. Why? Because we honor the Lord because we love him. If the Lord has called us to obey the governing authorities, then we do it. And it's a lot easier to do it when my eyes are not on my freedoms, but on the God who loves me, who died for my sins, who is my king, who is my master, who has forgiven me of all my sins, who treats me far better than I deserve. The boundary lines, really, for all of us have fallen in pleasant places. He has been good to us. As believers, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He has given us life. He has given us freedom from sin. And he has given us our daily bread. And one day he will see us safely home. And so our primary attitude needs to be that we would honor him. And when he says to do something, we do it. Now, he expands it more. God's purpose behind the command. Verse 15, for this is the will of God. Okay, do you see that part? It's God's will. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. By submitting to the God-ordained government authorities, Christians demonstrate that we are good citizens, that we are not rebels, that we are not anarchists, that we are not self-seeking, but that we are different than every other people. That we, for the Lord's sake, do what he has called us to do. And when he says that by honoring God, we silence the ignorance of foolish people, he's not cutting them down. He's just describing what the government is like and what people are like when they don't believe. Why? Because the scripture says, the word of the cross is folly to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so we understand the gospel. We understand what he has done, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let me give you one more verse that I tell you, when I was preparing this, I'm like, I don't want to say I'm choking on it, but I'm having to repent all the time. Titus, in chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul's writing to Titus, who's a pastor, and he says, remind them to be submissive to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. So name-calling is off the plate for me now. To speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy towards all people, for we ourselves were once foolish and disobedient. And he goes on to say that. And I read that and I say, ouch. And yet, for the Lord's sake, this is the will of the Lord that we do this. Because the weapons of our warfare, they are not of the flesh. They're not carnal. We do what the Lord wants us to do, even when it butts up against how we feel. Number four, we are free people called to be servants of God and others. It says live in verse 16. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. We are free. We sang about that. We are free from the bondage of sin in Christ. We are free from the penalty of the wrath of God. We're free from that. We are free from condemnation. All because of what Jesus did. All because in his great love, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whosoever would, by faith, alone in Jesus, believe in him, have eternal life. And so we are called to live as free. But you can't use that to say, well, you know what? I have freedom and I can do what I want. No, we gladly bring ourselves under the Lord and under his word. This is where we need to be. I'm not saying that's going to be easy, but let me just give you another passage. Galatians 5:13. You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love to serve one another. And so when we don't use our freedom as an opportunity to get angry and to get snarky and to speak evil, and we don't do that, because that's not what we're called to do. And he goes on to say, where it talks about the works of the flesh, and he gets down to the part of fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, and divisions. He's like, no, that's part of the flesh, and that's not what we're called to do, and that's not what the kind of people that we're called to be. We're free. The great thing is, we're free. We truly are, and we're free to serve the Lord and to do what he has called us to do, and not to use our freedom to do what we want. Number five, the application of submission. And here's the part that gets hard. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Now, could you really imagine if for a week or a month, could you imagine if all of America did this? If the media did this? You would almost want to watch the news. I mean, it would really be good. If we honored everybody, we loved the brotherhood, we feared God, and we honored the emperor. Not that you wouldn't disagree with people, because you still could. But you do it in a way that is honorable and kind and doing what is right. You see, we are to honor everyone, even those people we disagree with. Why? Because every person is created in the image of God, and there is due to them respect. In the first century, people were viewed as slaves. They were non-persons. And yet he tells us to honor people who you will disagree with. I mean, again, you got to understand, Paul's writing this and Nero's the emperor. You talk about a bad leader. He made all our leaders look like great. And yet, he says this, honor everyone. Now, if you have a hard time with this, let me encourage you to listen to some Robbie Zacharias debates. Because there's nobody who, when people attack or they ask snarky questions or they try to get him, he doesn't get angry. He just speaks the truth in love. I was just watching a couple this week, and it was like really good. It was just really amazing how people would be making accusatory statements, and he just kind of judoed the whole thing and turned it into loving them and just giving them the answer. And it was like, wow. It's like, I wish I could be like that, because, you know, I just got to learn more on that one. And I think some of you do as well. And so, unfortunately, we so often follow the pattern of the world where we get spun up. And yet, what does the scripture say? Let your speech be always gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. And then he says, love the brotherhood. This should be easier, but we should be able to love those who are believers, the brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet, what did J. Vernon McGee used to say? To live above with saints of love, oh, how that will be such glory. But to live below with the saints I know, well, that's another story. And for some people, it's true. I think it's difficult. I mean, it's sometimes hard to forgive. And yet, we are to forgive. We are to seek peace. We are to be believers and live this out. And so he says, love the brotherhood. And then he says, fear God. We're not to fear the government. We're to fear God, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We are to live that way and do it in a good way. And then he says, honor the emperor. And this is the one where if you disagree with him or you disagree with her, whoever the leader is that you disagree with, that's the hard one. Because how do you do that without getting in the flesh? And I do think the Lord has called us to speak, even if we disagree, in a respectable way, to speak the truth in love. But God has called us to be different. We shouldn't be like the world and their reactions. I know I get jabbed at or talked to about, you know, how I don't like to watch the news. I know what's going on in the world, but I will say to you, the news does a really good job at getting you so spun up on either side that we end up thinking that other people, other leaders who don't agree with us are wicked, stupid people. We do. I mean, in the flesh, we can go there real easily. And yet the Lord has called us to be different. He has called us to honor him. He has called us to live out his word. That is real clear. So the passage we just looked at, real clear. Again, this isn't hard. Don't try to do exegetical gymnastics with us to say, you know, well, I don't think I really have to submit to the governing authorities. If you're a believer, it's clear. It really is. So what about civil disobedience? I read a book this week. Actually, I didn't read it. I listened to it. What's that? Audible books is a beautiful thing. You can speed it up and listen to a long book real quick. That's what I do. Anyways, I listened to Al Mohler's book, The Gathering Storm, with the subtitle of Secularism, Culture, and the Church. And there is a gathering storm that's coming. Just flat out, it's coming. And we see it. We even talked about it a couple weeks ago. But the reality is the freedoms that you and I enjoy, especially as Christians, are going to be greatly diminished within the next few years. It's just going to happen. And that'd be a great book for you to read to know what's coming on. It's a little depressing, I got to tell you that, because you know, it's like, wow. It's kind of like I'm in the middle of the pew, and there's a 20-foot brick wall on both sides, and there's a Mack truck coming right at you, and you can't go backwards. It's kind of like, what do I do? You get that feeling. And yet, you got to trust the Lord, who is sovereign and good. And you know what? Everything he says is going to happen. And so how do we respond? How do we respond when we don't think that the government is right? Should you wear your mask? Should you not? Well, here's a principle that's good. We are to obey the governing authorities until they forbid us to do something the Lord commands, or commands us to do something the Lord forbids. So has the Lord said, thou shalt not wear masks? Now don't go to like Leviticus and say, well, you know, I could pull this one out. It's kind of like a head covering for guys. And so technically, and you know, no. And I mean, so let me just repeat that. We are to obey the governing authorities until they forbid us to do something the Lord commands, or commands us to do something the Lord forbids. And we see this played out over and over and over again in Scripture. We see it in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 16. The Hebrew midwives, It says, when you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, and let the male children live. Now, the Hebrew, or the king of the Egyptians, could have killed these midwives, and yet they feared God. And the bottom line is they were doing something that was not right, and the Lord ended up blessing them and gave these midwives families. And so that was just part of God honoring them. You look at Daniel. We saw this when we went through Daniel. There's a couple of times when they were to worship the image, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to answer you in this matter." He says, "But if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden images that you have set up." So the bottom line is, they wanted them to do something that God forbid, and they said no. Now they paid the consequence. They were thrown into the furnace, and God delivered them. We see the same thing in Daniel chapter 6, when the king makes an edict that you're not supposed to pray to anyone except for the king. And so we see in Daniel 6:10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber opened towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. So you can't outlaw prayer. He's going to pray to the true God. He's not going to worship a man. And again, he was thrown in a lion's den and God delivered him. And we could get there and we could say, well, yeah, but every time that happened to them, they made it out okay. Well, if you go home and you read your Bibles today and you look at Hebrews chapter 11, it's a hall of fame of faith. And it goes on to talk about what more can we say about Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and all the prophets who conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stop the mouths of lions. It goes to talk about all these victories. But then you get down to verse 35, and it says this. Women receive their dead by resurrection. Then there's a switch. But some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. So it doesn't always mean that when we obey God rather than man, that everything's going to work out for us on this world. It's not always going to work out. In the New Testament, there's just a couple more. Peter and John, it says, so they called them and charged them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to answer you rather than listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we can't but speak of what we have seen and heard. And then in chapter 5, he goes on to say, we strictly charge you not to teach in his name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Do you intend to bring this man's blood upon us? But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. So that's what we do. We obey God. We do what he's called. We obey the governing authorities until they forbid us to do something the Lord commands or commands us to do something that the Lord forbids. Now, in our country, we have freedom to protest. We can go out and legally protest, and that's okay. Should we do sit-downs and have the police lock us up and carry us off? That would be breaking the law. I would be of the ilk that says, no, I don't think we should do that. And you say, well, but but our government's evil. Let me tell you, again, go on the internet, look up top 10 evil empires, and you will see Stalin and Hitler, and I never heard of this guy, Vlad the Impaler. Sounds like he's a pretty bad guy. This guy named Pol Pot in Cambodia killed millions of his people. Saddam Hussein, Idi Amin, Ivan the Terrible. Nothing compared to what we have. It's just not that bad. And I found this quote this week. I think John Piper said it. I'm not sure. But he says, don't get your back up so easily because being wronged by the government sends nobody to hell. But being rebellious and angry and bitter and spiteful does send people to hell. Now, it's not the actions. It's just those actions that if it's a heart that reveals that you really don't get the gospel, then you're in trouble. And so we're called to examine ourselves if it reflects what's really going on. And so we do have to be careful with this. We have to, as much as we love our freedoms, we have to do that. So let me start to land this plane. Are we more American than Christian? Because we do love our countries, and we love our freedoms. Every one of you here, even if you're totally happy with the president's doing and the governor's doing, you still love your freedoms. And there's a book, I read a quote by Robert Erickson titled Theologians Under Hitler. And these are three Protestant theologians who, they had so diluted their theology that they ended up becoming supportive of Nazi Germany. And the statement is made, part of the problem was that the German church failed to maintain the distinction between Christian values and national values. And I think that can run into us, that we can run into the part where we look at there's a difference between our Christian values and our freedom values. And so we are called to have a higher loyalty. Now let me give you a couple examples where it gets hard. I'm a hunter. I'm a shooter. I love to go to the gun range. I have the privilege, based upon this country and the Constitution that we have, that we have that freedom. You may not like it, that's fine, but I'd love to do it. Enjoy it. And here's a conversation that I have had with dozens of people like me, freedom-loving, gun-loving people, who think that it is our liberty, our right, that this is the whole point of this country has been to give us freedom. What is it? Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. And there's another quote. Slaves don't have guns. Free people do. That's true, if you think about it. Slaves don't have guns. Free people do. So I've asked a question to these people who agree with me in this. They'll say, let's say the government changes the Constitution, does what it has to do, and it becomes 100% legal for the government to knock on your door and say, give me your guns. What would you do? Give me your guns. And I got to tell you, probably over 95% of the people said they're not getting them. Some have said other things, quoted Charlton Heston, out of my cold dead hands. I mean, that's, you know, but that's a real question. And then let's say, again, because by the way, people could say, well, that's not where this country is founded. But if they follow the rules to change all that stuff, which they can do and have done, and they say, give me your guns, what are you going to do? You're going to have a Waco-style shootout? Most would. And I have to humbly say, that would not be right. Now, I'm with you in your heart. And some of you are saying, well, guns are evil, good. Take all those guns away. And you would promote it. Let's change the scenario a little bit. Let's say that we are worried about your carbon footprint in this world. And so The government gets to mandate the kind of car that you get to drive, and you don't get to drive those big cars. By the way, your family gets one car you can all share, and you can be environmentally responsible like I am and drive a Prius. So everyone, you know, you get to drive a Prius. And I could keep going on these scenarios. Let's say that you have two houses. God's blessed you with money, and they say, you know what? We're really becoming more of a socialistic country, and so now it's not fair for you to have two houses, so we are going to take one back. Thank you very much. Or, you know, as a country, we're giving away money. We're printing money. We all know that. And let's say they finally say, you know what? We got to get more responsible about this. We're going to go into your retirement account, and we're going to tap 50%, and we know what you had. So don't try to take it out. We know what you got. We're going to come and get it. And let's say they do it all legally. What are you going to do? I bring up all these scenarios because at the end of the day, I would love to sit there and say, fight. But I would be a horrible pastor if I said that. We have to obey God rather than man because we're here for a short time. And so I just ask the question, are we more American than Christian? And my problem is, some days I'm more American. And then I got to start preaching to myself. It's like, no. I mean, really? All the things we have, our life is a vapor. It's going to be over in just a short time. And wouldn't it be great to honor the Lord and have him say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Yeah, you had those freedoms, they were taken away. It stinks, but you know what? Heaven is great. And I do pray that we would be the people that would do what is right. So I'll pray for you. You pray for me in this. But I want to end by just rereading the passage. 1 Peter 2:13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to emperors as supreme or to governors, as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good we should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that truly in our heart of hearts, as hard as this is, that we would release this into your hands, that we would be people who are free, who do what your word says. For the Lord's sake, we do what you've called us to do. And that in it, you would work. In it, you would give us divine opportunities. In it, you would help us to be your servants. So I just commit all this to you, Lord. I pray that we would be people that are more Christian than we are freedom-loving Americans. So I just pray you do that in our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. End with a song that makes it clear of who we serve. We serve the King of Kings, so that it makes it possible to then honor those kings that are under that king. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Raise the Spirit, three in
reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
In the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected. Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide?
1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Now to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever." And all God's people said, amen. As we leave from the back, let's go out and honor the Lord and submit to the governing authorities.
I have decided.